Thank you. Maybe seated. Well, it's great to have all of you here. Thank you for being here. And if you are our guest here this morning, my name is Rick. I would love to personally connect with you. And so if you have the time, I'm going to be at the middle doors there on your way out. If you can introduce yourself to me, I'd love to personally meet you and connect with you in that way. We are in week two of a teaching series that we're calling Love, Fight, and Win. Because we know that there's a right way to love, there's a right way to fight so that we can win in all of our relationships. And last week, if you missed last week, I encourage you to go to our website, ccfchurch.net, click on the resource button there, click on the sermons button next, and listen to last week's, because we talked about the foundation of love, and everybody needs to get on the same page for this foundation of love. We looked at 1 John 4, 7 through 12, and discovered what real biblical love means, and it originates from God. And last week, and just real quickly, we saw this from the foundation of biblical love, that biblical love is a choice that you make. It's not an emotion or a feeling. It's a decision that you make on purpose. And we saw that it's sacrificial, that it lays its life down for the other person, that it's life-giving, that you breathe life into your relationships. You bring life into your relationships. And then we saw that biblical love is pure, that the motives behind it are pure, that you are loving not for what you can get out of it, but for the sake of the other person. And so then what we did was we went to Ephesians chapter 5. And in Ephesians chapter 5, for everybody in the room, we said this. Paul reminded us that we're all to imitate God in everything that we do. So that means in our relationships that we have, in our husband-wife relationships that we have, we're to imitate God. And we know that this is impossible unless the Holy Spirit lives inside of you. So for a Christ follower, for somebody who's put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we know that the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of us. And verse 18 says that we have to imitate God in the power of that Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. And then we looked at verse 21. For all of us, we said, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Again, bringing back, because of who Christ is in your life, because you have already submitted to Him, now He tells husbands and wives and man and woman to submit one to the other. He tells us as Christ followers, we need to live in this kind of way. And last week, we zeroed in on the guys. And guess what, ladies? Today, it's your day, all right? So I know you're excited about this. So here's what verse 22 says for women. It says, for wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord. And look what Paul does. He comes back to this idea. In the same way, ladies, that you have submitted your life over to God. He's using that comparison again. In the way that you have submitted your life to God, you need to also submit yourself to your husband. Now, he comes back at this again. He says it again in verse 24. He says, as the church submits to Christ, again, notice we can take the word church out there. Don't think organization or a building or something. Think people, because that's what the church really is. It's people. We could insert our names in there. If you are a Christ follower, you could put your name in there. But again, it gets us back to that ground foundational level that it all comes out of reverence to Christ. But he says, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. And here's what I do know, that this is hard. This is painful to hear, right? A lot of us, and it's painful because we have this as an image in our mind, as submission. And in some of our relationships, we think that it is about getting our spouse to submit to us in this way. And sometimes you use your words like this. And that is painful. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Submission doesn't have to feel like this. In fact, I want to be very clear, because I said this last week, but I want to say it again this week. That in no way does the Bible condone any form of abuse. What broke my heart was as recent as March of 2018, this reporter in Australia took a study that was done in Britain, brought it to their country, and then did some study in their own country in the church in Australia. And what they discovered was that one out of four people who go to church say that abuse was a part of their relationship. And here's the saddest part of it all, is that the husbands would use this verse that we just looked at, wives submit to your husbands, as a justification for it. And so, I want to be clear that this is not what the Bible teaches. The Bible actually condemns this. This is not right. And if you have found yourself in an abusive relationship, you need to call the authorities. You need to leave that relationship, and you need biblical counseling. You need help. Please hear us on that. Now, this also doesn't mean, I know that's the extreme, but it also doesn't mean, ladies, that you are a doormat, or that somehow your opinion or your thoughts don't matter or they have no value. In fact, here's what I'd like to say today, is that submission can be given with joy. And I know some of you are like, what? No, it can't be. Yes, it can. It really can be. Even though it sounds painful, but submission can be given with joy, and it can be life-giving to your marriage. It can bring life to it. And so let me describe it like this, because what if your husband, what if there was this husband out there that was truly loving his wife in the way that we covered last week, through this biblical love, where he would make a decision, he was very intentional about it, it was on purpose, that it was sacrificial. You watched him time and time again, just willing to sacrifice himself for the sake of your well-being, for the sake of your interest. That you watched him time and time again honor you both publicly and privately. That he would sit to listen to you. He would sit to try and understand where you're coming from this. And that he wasn't argumentative. That he really cherished you. And you would know, you knew that every time that he would go to have a conversation with you, that he had your best interest in mind. He led like that. He would lead out of this servant heart attitude. Now, wouldn't that remove your fear? Wouldn't that remove your apprehension to yielding to his opinion, to this idea of submission, when you know that he had nothing but the best in his heart for his family? So, it can be given in joy. It can be life-giving to your marriage. Now, we want to look again at what submission does not mean. It does not mean that you are of less value, that your opinion is less valued, or that you are somehow less important. And we know this is true because watch how Paul compares Jesus with this idea of giving up or yielding or submitting to. He says in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, he's writing to everyone, but today we're speaking to the women, so keep this in mind, ladies. But again, he's writing to both men and women. He says, you must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. And then he lists this attitude. He says, though he was God, though Jesus was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to hold on to, something that he wouldn't let go of. Because watch what he does. Jesus gave up his divine privileges. And he took on the position of a human slave, a position of a slave or a servant. Think of that. And was born as a human being. This is the very person of Jesus who models to us what this looks like. And so, we know that Jesus wasn't of less value or of importance. Ladies, you're not. Submission does not mean that you have less value, that you're less important. And then Peter does this in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 7. Here's what Peter tells us. He says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. So again, talking to Christ followers, he's telling you, Peter is telling us, ladies, that you are an equal partner in this relationship that you have as you follow Christ together, because it's about the two, becoming one and together living out the cause that Christ has for you. Remember the context of this. Peter is writing to a Roman Greek culture where women were thought of as possessions or property. Think about how counterculture this is when Peter calls out the Christ followers and said, no, they are not property. They're not possessions. You are to treat them as your equal partner. And if you don't, your prayers will be hindered. So ladies, please, when you hear the word submission, don't think that that means of some kind of lesser value or less importance, because that's not what the Bible would tell us here. And when we stop and think about submission, and ladies, I felt like that this was empowering. I heard one of our staff members, Laura Wilbur, she's our office administrator, and she says, something I tell ladies who are thinking about marriage or going down this road is I always tell them, this is from Laura, she says, I always tell them, don't marry somebody that you're not willing to submit to. I would just add, don't date somebody that you're not willing to submit to. If he's not loving you out of this biblical kind of love that we looked at last week, then why continue that relationship unless he's willing to turn things around there? Now, he not only uses this word submit, but he also uses this word respect. In Ephesians chapter 5, so back in our text, at the very last verse of this chapter, notice what he says. He says, so again I say, each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Let's define respect as this. Respecting your husband, not belittling him, means valuing him despite his many faults, right? There are going to be times when you and your husband are going to have a healthy conversation. And as you have this healthy conversation about what you should do, and it's going to involve, you know, this will affect the whole family, there are going to be times when the husband will make a decision and lead differently than yours, ladies. And then a year into that decision, you both are going to come to the conclusion, this was not the right decision. Respecting your husband means when this time comes, and it will come, that you as a wife, don't belittle your husband. Don't say, or even have the attitude of, I told you so. I knew it was going to turn out like this. Didn't we talk about this? I told you this is exactly where it was going to end up, right? Don't belittle him. When you respect him, it means you value him. And maybe the conversation could go something more like this. Hey, we got it wrong this time. But next time, we're going to know how we can do it differently. Respect your husband. Choosing to place respect there. Now this morning, I just didn't want you to hear from me. I wanted you to be able to hear from six different ladies. And so I have six different ladies who are going to come up and help me this morning, because our heart really is about just putting practical tools into all of our hands so that all of our relationships, and particularly our marriages, so that they can be strengthened. And so if you six ladies won't come up now and go ahead and take your places, and as they're coming up, I just kind of want to set the stage for you a little bit. I had reached out to these ladies and asked them three different questions. And as I asked them these three different questions, I've asked them to be prepared to answer at least two of them. And we've asked them to be kind of free-flowing. And so that a couple of them may answer, but somebody else may jump in because somebody may say something that triggers, oh yeah, let me say this. And that is what we're looking for, because our goal is just to be helpful. And none of us on this platform, myself or them, we're not up here, again, because we think that we have somehow, you know, got the perfect marriage, because none of us up here would say that. We don't have it all figured out. We're still learning. But here's what I love about our church community is that we're going to learn together. I love this about us, and that's kind of our posture here. So, and I also want to say this, that any one of these ladies would be very happy to speak with you. If they say something that, you know, kind of connects with you after the service, please do grab them. They would be more than willing to do that. So here are the first question. We'll have the questions on the screen, and then we'll just see who will jump in and answer these. So here it goes. It says, the very first one is, what would you do differently if you could restart your relationship with your husband? But as I'm reading the question, I'm thinking, you have no idea who these ladies are. So let me introduce them to you. First, this is Carlene Rogers. She's an entrepreneur, a business lady. She's been married for 23 years. This is Mary Jo LaRocco. And Mary Jo has four children, homeschools, but is also a professor at URI. Three. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I'm sorry. I gave him an extra one. Yeah. After three, yeah. Take one more. So Mary Jo, they have three children, and she homeschools. She's a professor at URI. Pat Beauchesne comes to us with the most experience in all of this, right? And in August, she will have been married 60 years. Isn't that amazing? She's great. Pat's a retired nurse and committed to their relationship. And then we have Callie, newest to our church family. Callie is Steve Van Horn's wife. They have four children. She homeschools. She has an education background, and we're looking forward to her input. And then we have Stephanie Hines. Stephanie grew up here in this church from junior high on, and got married. They have two children, and she's a teacher in Barrington Elementary School there, and zeroes in on, she specializes in reading. And so we're so thankful for Steph. And then Janine literally grew up in here in this church from the nursery on. She's been around here forever. We're so glad that she continues to follow God in her faith. And as somebody who grew up in the church, so she and Jason, they have three. Yep, getting this all messed up. They have three kids. She's a teacher by trade as well. And so all these ladies are here just to share with us. So the first question: what would you do differently if you could restart your relationship with your husband? Whoever's going to jump in on that, go ahead.
I'll take it. So I grew up in a very strong Italian traditional type family who kind of thought that every way we did things was the right way. So when I married a Southerner, that was a big change. And I feel like I knew you became one when you got married, but I wish I had a better understanding of really what that meant to embrace each other's backgrounds, cultures, all of that, and bringing it together as one. And something that we did that really helped with discipling that was doing a Bible study on the five love languages, if some of you have heard of that. But it really gave us a better insight as to what are ways that he needs, what are his strengths, how do I need to approach him so that when there's an argument, when there's, you know, something going on, or just in everyday life, I'm cognizant of how I can reach him, both emotionally, mentally, and then the same for him, because we were wired differently. So what's going to work for him isn't always going to work for me. And so that was very helpful. And I wish we kind of were a little more versed in how to do that before getting married. And it was kind of neat to go through it together, though, and learning it together in the same way.
Yep, good. And then somebody else is going to.
So I'll start by saying one of the things that I would do the same getting married, and we got a lot of things we do differently, far more longer on that list, but one of the things I do the same is, as Rick spoke, especially last week, mutual submission was the foundation of our marriage. And so I would also add to what Rick said earlier, and I would not date or marry somebody that would not submit to me as well. That was not clear, that our marriage was about loving and serving one another. And that is something both Rob and I were strongly committed to as we started our marriage. And I'm really thankful for that because when relationships begin, we dream of these wonderful, beautiful seasons of joy and life forever together. And, you know, we're just going to go serve God together and have all these great, you know, relational things happening. And then you get married and you hit seasons like we do in all relationships. And, yeah, there's the joyful ones, but there's some really hard ones as well. And we've walked through seasons of winter where it feels cold and dark, and you don't really know when the end of that season is going to come. And so two things that I would have done differently is, first of all, I think in our early years of marriage, when you hit like the surprising, oh, this isn't exactly everything I thought it was going to be, I would have asked for some help. We were both on staff in ministry, and so I felt like I needed to fiercely protect my husband's privacy, and I don't want to say anything negative about him to anyone. So at the same time, I didn't talk about it at all, and I wish I had had like a trusted confidant like Pat or somebody who I knew I could safely say, I need some help, I need to pray together, I need to know how to be a better wife as a newlywed. But in the long haul, I think it's important to remember when you hit those winter seasons that any one of us, and we all have friends and maybe people here, we've said, you know, it's the end of this story. It's time to close the chapter of this book. There may be valid reasons for that. But if you can hang in there, if you're in a safe relationship to be in, I think it's really special to know if you close the book too early, you never get to see the ending of that story. And so Rob and I have been committed to walking through that we don't want to miss the best part that God has for us that's ahead, and not to end that story too soon.
Yeah, that's great. That's good. Kelly?
So several things I would do differently, but if I have to narrow it down, I would say maybe having some more proper expectations of marriage. There is a book called Sacred Marriage that I wish I had read before we got married. And on the subtitle of the book, it says, what if God designed marriage to make us holy more than to make us happy? And I think what we believe about that statement can really alter our perspective and expectations of marriage. And that it's not just about making each other happy or having someone try to fulfill you, but that it's really God using each other to help sanctify us and make us more like Him. And I think that helps view even our disagreements and our differences in a beautiful way. And also just knowing that this is like a team endeavor, life together, a marriage, that it's teamwork. It's not my will and wants versus your will and wants. It's a team, and how can we do this biblically, follow the Lord together?
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Okay, so here's our second question. It says, when you have disagreements, how do you walk through them together? Who wants to start us off with that?
It's a process.
Yeah.
What we've found is if we can take the emotion out of it as much as possible, number one. Number two, don't interrupt. And number three, definitely pray. And it's real. This is real life. A while ago, I got a phone call at work, and it was obviously regarding Steve, and I was fuming. And I drove home praying, like, Lord, what's the whole deal? And, of course, what's my response to it? So God calmed me down a little bit. And I came through the door. At the time, my grandmother was living with us, and they were watching the Red Sox game. And I remember a marriage conference when they said, don't talk to your spouse when he's hungry, tired, or watching sports. So I said, I said, hon, I have something serious to talk about. He said, okay. Is it an emergency? Can it wait for the commercial? And I, at the time, we wouldn't put pause. My grandmother wanted to do the commercial. So I thought about it and said, I think we can wait. So it gave me some more time to pray and think about it. So we went to another room, and it was so awesome. First of all, my husband's incredible. He gave me eye contact, but I honored him. I didn't come out with a lot of emotion. So he listened. He didn't feel attacked. And we didn't interrupt. And he gave me the whole information. I apologized for my part. He apologized for his part. And we prayed together. So no emotion, don't interrupt in prayer.
Yep, that's good. Great. Somebody else? Pat?
Okay. how do we walk through disagreements? Well, I have to be honest and say we argue.
Yeah.
In all reality. But I think the thing that has really helped us, or helped me in particular, is that I love my husband and I'm committed to our marriage, and I feel that he feels the same way. That's what gets us through, is that love and commitment, and I think it's so important. From day one, I made a promise to love, honor, and cherish. And that's what I attempt to do, even though we argue, and sometimes there are tears and frustration. But in the end, it's my love for him. And actually, first of all, it's my love for God. Because if he was not first place in our lives, I wouldn't have that love and that sense of commitment to my husband.
Good. Whoever's getting ready to speak next, I just want to say this because this reminds me of this. Next week, we're actually going to talk about the fighting part, the right way to fight, all right? So I want you to come back and be ready for that. And you already heard some of them talk about this five love language thing. We're going to talk about that. I'll give a very quick, brief overview of those five love languages so that we can fight the right way. Who else? Seth?
For me, it was a lot about recognizing our different personalities. If you know my husband, he's an introvert. He's just more quiet than I am, and I'm much more outspoken and quick to speak. So for us, it was a lot of recognizing to take a step back, and we have to take a break from it, from the conversation or the disagreement, whatever you want to call it. And we just recently went through something, and I said, I'm done. I don't want to talk about it anymore. And then, it was hours. It was all night. And I could just tell, we were off. And then he came and approached me. And it meant a lot to me because I knew that it took a lot for him to come and open up and explain his feelings. But I think it was also just me respecting that time of letting him have his time to formulate and figure out what he needed to say and be able to voice his opinion in the matter. I think it really is just a part of it is knowing truly who each other is and recognizing your own flaws in your personality and being able to work through it.
And just to capitalize on something that Carlene had said, one thing that Jason and I have really realized is taking the emotion out of it and not the personal attacks, because a lot of times when we're going at each other and pointing something out, it's not so much that we have an issue with them, but it's that they're not in line with what the Word of God is saying. And so we've very much tried to take it away from, I don't like what you're doing, I don't agree with what you're doing, and putting it back to Scripture and looking at Scripture and are you in line with what the Word of God is saying? Because if you're not, then there's a problem. And so when we take the emphasis off of us and what we're feeling and what our emotions are, but we put it back to say, hey, you're not doing what God's calling you to do. It's not so much us attacking one another, but it's more of us now, we're going to walk through the messy parts of marriage together, and we're going to fix this according to what God's word says. So.
Good, thank you. All right, so here's our last question. It says, what makes you feel most loved and valued as a wife and equal partner, like we talked about in 1 Peter 3:7? Who has that?
I forget. I do.
Okay.
I cried last service during this. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to do it this time. But for me, and I promise we're not sponsored by Love Languages, but that was huge. We received it as a wedding gift, and at first I thought, oh, yeah, I know what mine is. Let me just read about it. I think I know what his is. Let me try those things. But that was in the beginning. And then you have kids or you have a different job or something, and you're in a different season. So for us, the value was in going through the survey at the back to figure out what your love language actually is. And you ask each other the questions. And that was really eye-opening to me because I couldn't believe some of the answers that he was choosing. So we ended up being the polar opposites. And his strongest is my weakest and vice versa. And so it's really when I feel valued and I feel equal is when he's making purposeful decisions to show me words, give words of affirmation. And now as a mom, seeing him instill that in my sons, oh, is that's huge. Just like making dinner and he's teaching my boys to say thank you for making this. It's just huge, and it makes me, you know, that everyday thing that is so annoying to do every day from 5 to 6 and then have to clean up, it makes it worth it because I feel like, I don't know, I'm valued and it's appreciated.
Yeah, that's good. Somebody else.
So I'm a time person, so just spending time together. Like, Steve and I are both very independent people, and so there are definitely things where he could do this and doesn't need me, but just when he asked me to come and even help him with something or just be with him while he's doing something, that means a lot. And for me too, like, if there's something that, you know, I could totally do on my own, but just asking him to help me with something, and he does, that means a lot. And I really appreciate that Steve is like a fantastic leader of our family, and he's not passive in that way, and he leads us, and I am relieved that he is that way. But even in that, like, when it's time to make decisions, and over the years it's felt like we've had to make, you know, 5,000 different decisions, some really small and some huge, just him asking, you know, my opinion and my thoughts and my advice, and not just making a decision and pulling me along, but having, you know, a sense of where this is going and what decision he's going to make, but seeking my input and taking that into consideration means a lot, too.
Yep, that's good.
I'd kind of combine questions 2 and 3 together as far as how we work through disagreements and then also what makes me feel loved by Rob. And I'd say we've learned over the years, I think Janine had mentioned a little bit about focusing on oneness in the relationship. I think for us, oneness, we have these high expectations when we got married of we're going to, like, be this solid, united team together, and we had this vision of what we were doing in life. And, you know, it was kind of suffocating for both of us, really. So we've learned over the years it's okay to disagree, and there's probably a very short list that we feel like we have to agree on. Many things in life, we've learned to give each other really absolute freedom to be who God made you to be. Be Rob to the fullest, be Mary Jo to the fullest, and not when we stop trying to put each other into the box of our own expectations. And that can even apply to your own biblical interpretation of what that is supposed to look like. And instead, give it to the Lord, flood your home with grace, with forgiveness, with random acts of kindness. That's when our marriage works, and we'll be trying to figure out how to actually do that every day for the rest of our lives. Yeah, but yeah, that's helped us.
That's good. That's good. Thank you. Because of time, yeah, we're done. Thank you, guys. Thank you. Next week. Let me, if you guys could just find your connection cards and you could take them out of your bulletin, that would be great. And I want us to look at that very first next step there. It says, pray for me. I need to first submit my life to God and place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior, because that's the very first place of submission. That's where it starts at, is with your relationship with God. And if maybe you're here today and you haven't placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, then I would encourage you to do that today. And we'll pray for you by name if you put your name here. And if you put your contact information there, we'll actually call you and have a conversation around that. So if that's what you want, then we would love to do that with you. Our next, our other step on there says, pray for me as I desire to honor God by living out biblical respect and submission to my husband. Ladies, this is a day we're focusing in on you. This step is for you. If you want us to pray for you, we would love to be praying for you this coming week. And then lastly, this is for all of us. You just say, pray for our marriage. I desire to have a marriage that honors God and my spouse. I commit to doing all that I can with God's help to strengthen my marriage. We want the marriages that are here to be strengthened and stronger than they ever have been. Does it mean it's going to be easy? No, it's going to be hard. It's going to be a lot of hard work, and we want to be committed to seeing this thing through prayer. And so we want to pray for you. If that is you, let us know. We'll be praying for you. Let me pray for you right now. Jesus, we come and we ask and we plead. Father, please, we pray for the marriages. Some marriages in the room this morning are strong and going well in the right direction. Thank you for them. Protect them, we pray. because we know that the evil one would want to blow them up, to make them go sideways. So Jesus, please protect them. And Father, for those marriages in the room that are struggling and those who are hearing this, they know exactly who they are. Father, I pray that they both, husband and wife, would submit themselves first and foremost to you. And as they allow you to bring sanctification into their own life, may they bring sanctification into their marriage and become holy in your sight. So, Father, please, we pray for these marriages that are struggling. We're praying your grace and your mercy. And God, we pray against the evil one who would want to stop them right now. Please. And Jesus, we're praying for the person in the room this morning that hasn't put their faith and trust in you yet. Jesus, bring them to that place where they can just submit their entire life over to you. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.